For CertSecurity.com, I'm Rob Westervelt. You're listening to Security Wire Weekly for May 7th, 2008. In this edition, we'll discuss virtualization security with Citrix Chief Technology Officer Simon Crosby. Crosby believes virtualization vendors should stay out of the security business. He'll explain in just a moment. Also, security researchers uncover an unprotected server controlled by hackers. It contained a mountain of medical data and other sensitive information. We'll talk to security vendor Finjan about the discovery. Next, the future of virtualization security. But first, this message.
Do you know what to look for when shopping for password management and provisioning tools? If not, then there's no better time to learn than right now. Check out CertSecurity.com's newest Identity and Access Management Security School lesson, using IAM tools to improve compliance. In this lesson, expert Tom Bowers reveals how to save money, plug the holes in your IAM strategy, and most importantly, improve your compliance efforts. You'll learn how technology can help map IAM technologies and business processes, best practices for privilege management, and how to find the right product for the right price when it's time to make a purchase. Go back to school today. Visit searchsecurity.com/IAM school. That's searchsecurity.com/IAM school.
And we're back. Virtualization vendors are trying to address some of the rising concerns of security professionals. Uncertainties have been raised about the security of the hypervisor, how complexities introduced to an organization could affect compliance with PCI standards and other regulations, and also how a company's patch management program is affected by virtualization environments. There's other complexities as well. Citrix Systems Chief Technology Officer Simon Crosby acknowledges some of the issues, but he says security needs to be addressed by independent security vendors and not virtualization vendors. Crosby explains what he means in this interview.
What role do you see independent security vendors playing in terms of security for virtualization? Do you think they are going to be the key players there and not necessarily the virtualization vendors themselves?
Yeah, I don't think that we're competent to be a security vendor, and I don't think that VMware is either. And okay. I spoke to Steve Herrod at VMware last week Friday, and he said exactly the same thing, that, you know, neither of us is focused on being a security vendor. What we think the hypervisor can do is really help secure the environment. But, you know, the competence called identifying attacks and vulnerabilities has for a long time been vested in independent security vendors. The industry has already decided a long time ago that third-party vendors are required to secure any platform. I mean, you know, Microsoft is not credible in securing its own platform, for example, right? The industry looks to third-party vendors whose expertise is security to do that. And it's a very good skill set separation. So we are definitely not a security vendor. Our products help our customers secure their environments. That is, when we use the hypervisor in our products, for example, Zen Desktop, which is a VDI implementation, we dramatically assist our customers to get more secure because we move all those bits which were on hard disks on PCs in their environment into the data center, securely wrapped as virtual hard disks, which can then boot, on a server and then be remotely presented for an immersive PC experience to the user with single sign-on security and so on and so on. So we have a whole category of security attributes for our core product line, and indeed, many users use Citrix products because they dramatically enhance security. Mm-hmm. But the business called find the bad guys, that notion of security, we don't do that.
Sure. I wanted to touch on some of the complexities that some IT administrators say that they could be introducing into their environment. One thing that comes to mind right away is patching issues. Is this just a facet of IT people just not necessarily understanding virtualization completely?
Well, it's a facet of virtualization and IT practice being immature.
Okay.
IT people don't understand virtualization. They generally do. The challenge is that humans build organizations around implementations of technology. And IT organizations today are built around today's security technologies and today's deployment technologies. And virtualization completely changes all of it. And so the challenge is, as virtualization becomes more pervasively deployed, that we have organizational challenges and procedural challenges in the enterprise. A simple example, if a particular VM has a particular security policy associated with it, if I move that VM from server A to server B, arguably a firewall rule or an IDS or something else has to move with it. And so currently that function called configure the IDS or firewall is vested in some other individual's hands, and he's the security guy, and he configures a bump in the wire physical device, which may no longer be on the data path. Mm-hmm. Okay, so really what virtualization does is introduce anyness, in the sense that any workload can run on any server, and dynamism, which challenges the rate of change of the infrastructure. And we have yet to figure out how all of these things can be automated. And that's really what people want. So really, if you take what we did with OVF as a starting point, one could extend that so that the metadata that describes the virtual machine is used not only by the virtualization platform to configure resources for and security for a particular VM when you start it up, but indeed is used broadly in the infrastructure to reconfigure the infrastructure around the VM. That is, if a VM moves, the metadata would allow me then to go off and reprogram, firewall or IDS rules, wherever that thing is going to run. But, we're way off there still. We're way off.
Also in the news, researchers at security vendor Finjan uncovered a server containing the sensitive email and web-based data of thousands of people. The data on the server includes healthcare information, credit card numbers, and business personnel documents and other sensitive data. The hackers made no effort to protect the data on the server. There was no access control and no encryption. Finjan Chief Technology Officer Yuval Ben-Itzhak explains in this interview that the hackers bought the AdPack exploit toolkit on the black market. They probably had little knowledge about encryption or access control methods.
The person is running it is interesting in the data and the money and has probably no clue about how to secure the server and how to protect the data from others to access it.
Where was this server posted?
We found it in Malaysia. However, when we tracked back this domain name, we noticed, and we include that in the report, you can see it at the end of the report, the DNS records indicate that this person moved this domain very often from different IPs. Almost every 2 or 3 weeks, change the IP address of the server, probably to avoid detection. Mm-hmm. So we detected this server early April. We reported about this amount of data and what we found there to law enforcement all around the world, including the FBI in the U.S. And they took action, and the server is no longer available. But the person is available, so probably he's going to do that again somewhere else, and that's also a concern.
Does it cost a lot of money to put in some sort of level of encryption?
I think, if they would read some common practice how to secure a web server, they would block it. Basic Apache configuration will, at least not leave this data out available. You'll need actually to hack the server, which is something you can do, but it's just increased the barrier to access the data.
So the server contained 1.4 gigabytes of data, and it was both business and personal related, and that included over 5,000 unique log files.
The data was collected during 3 weeks. When we looked on the server and the data, it's just 3 weeks. And within 3 weeks from 5,000 users to collect 1.4 gigabit of data, yes, it's a lot of data.
And that does it for this edition of Security Wire Weekly. Be sure to check out our previous podcasts at searchsecurity.com/podcast. And as always, you can get the latest news and information at our news page at certsecurity.com/news. For now, I'm Rob Westervelt. Have a great day.